With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
The general manager of the Chicago Cubs, Jed Hoyer, is on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. We always appreciate his time and his candor. Jed, how you doing today?
Are you with us?
Yeah, I'm there. You guys there?
There we are. Yeah, maybe we had a little glitch on the board. Everything good today, Jed?
It's all good. It's nice to have an off day here. And, we started three big series in a row. So it's a good off day to kind of regroup. And hopefully we can play real well in this stretch.
Yeah, it's a busy time with lots of news going on as well. Can you confirm the report in the Des Moines Register that Ian Happ has been recalled to the big club?
We're gonna bring him up, and he'll be active for the game tomorrow.
Can you tell us the corresponding roster move?
No, not yet. I mean, honestly, it leaked out. It leaked out through Des Moines, and it wouldn't be fair to the player involved to confirm that. But I will confirm that Ian will be there tomorrow. And listen, he was a total pro about this. He went down there. He knew this was about making some adjustments, and he knew this was going to be process over results. And we've been in communication with Ian a ton, and he stayed upbeat, and this last stretch has been his best stretch so far, and we felt like this is definitely the right time to do it. But I'll give him a lot of credit for staying patient and staying true to what we talked about. And he's been great, and hopefully he can come up here and perform like he has in the past.
Jed, tell us a little bit more about those adjustments specifically and where your level of confidence is that this time at the lower level did him some good.
Yeah, without getting too much in the weeds on it, I think that, the way pitchers were attacking him at the end of last year, he needed to make certain adjustments to sort of lower the strikeout rate a little bit, get on top of some balls a little better. And mostly from the left side, and that's really what he's been working on. He's been real consistent this year from the right side of the plate, but the left side was the area that we were sort of most focused on, and he's been working hard on making those adjustments with the coaches and with the coordinators, and feels like it's really been bearing fruit here of the last 3-4 weeks. And so we're excited to get him back, and hopefully he can provide a nice shot in the arm for us.
Will he get some time at second base?
I mean, that's ultimately up to Joe. But, I think that he'll get time in the outfield and potentially at second base based on how other people are playing and other matchups. But I think, primarily, I think he'll be in the outfield.
Is Ian one of those guys who can be his own worst enemy sometimes and get inside of his own head? Jed, we've spent a lot of time around Albert Elmore, and we suspect he's one of those guys. He just, in a sport of a high rate of failure, just he beats himself up a lot. Is Ian one of those guys too?
Well, I think there's a handful of different things that go under that umbrella. Sometimes some guys beat themselves up when they fail, and some guys tinker when they fail. And some guys think about their failures a lot and how they can make adjustments. And, sometimes, you have to accept the fact that you're going to go 1-for-10 or 1-for-15 and it's okay. You don't have to make an adjustment. And, some guys are always looking to tinker with things. And oftentimes it's the most, cerebral of players that want to do that. They understand how their body works. They understand, what's going on when they watch the video. And so sometimes, with players like you're discussing, and there's many more like that, I think it's a lot about not making adjustments, not feeling like you have to change anything, but simply sticking with what you're good at and knowing that the results will be there.
We're talking to Cubs general manager Jed Hoyer. McNeil and Parkins on the Score, where the front office show is presented by the Magellan Corporation. Jed, can you tell us what went into the decision to send Addison Russell down to Iowa?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, with Addison, so we love the defense he provides, and I still think he's got a valuable part of our team. But he had some had a bad stretch. I mean, he'd been scuffling at the plate, and perhaps even more importantly, going into our decision was that he'd been struggling you know, mentally. I think he had been kind of disengaged in some games and made some mental mistakes. And, you know, we can't have that. You know, we know just how, you know, thin the margin of error is going to be to win this division. And so we felt like, you know, giving him time in Iowa to sort of regroup, you know, work on his swing a little bit, but also kind of work on his focus. We felt like that was the right thing to do.
You guys stood by him. You stuck your necks out. You stayed with him. Is it difficult for the front office not to take it a little bit personally that he, I mean, seemingly indifferent about events of late, not knowing signs and just a bad attitude?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's, I think sometimes you know, we put ourselves in, you know, mentally trying to think he doesn't care or, you know, he's not into it. I don't think that's the case at all. I think he's actually a really, really competitive kid. You know, so I think that saying he's not engaged or saying he's not focused on winning, I wouldn't go that far. But certainly, you know, the mental mistakes we can't have, and, you know, not knowing signs is something we can't have. So, you know, there's real things to be worked on for sure. But I definitely feel like Addison cares a great deal.
You said his focus, you know, sometimes not being where it's supposed to be. Is everything okay to the best of your knowledge with Addison Russell off the field?
Yeah. To the best of my knowledge, yeah, nothing off the field that was alarming, but certainly on field, it didn't feel like he was was engaged enough in certain moments, and obviously missed some signs and had some mental lapses, and, you know, those are things that can be tightened up.
So Cubs fans should expect him back at the big league club at some point.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly the plan, but we do. Like I said, he's down there for a reason, and he's down there to work. And you know, I do feel like he has a role in the team. He's a great defender. You know, I think what we can do late in games, you know, with him on defense is really special. And I do believe, like, you know, we have a belief that, you know, this guy's ceiling is incredibly high. But obviously, 2019 so far has been frustrating for him.
Jed, what's the latest on Chris Bryant's health?
He should be fine. I think we expect him to play tomorrow. We shouldn't have the alarm bells going too loud. I think based on what we know today, I expect him to play tomorrow.
You mentioned, you know, so Russell's down and Bryant's okay. If something happens to Javi Baez, is David Bote the backup shortstop?
Yeah, David can do it. Certainly, you know, not an ideal situation. You know, he'll try his hardest out there, and he can do it. But I feel like if it was a significant injury, we would have to make a move. But if it was sort of an in-game thing or one-game thing, I think David could do just fine.
We're talking to Jed Hoyer here on The Score. Obviously, the trade deadline is fast approaching. How would you characterize what your expectations are for the market overall?
It's hard to say. I think you talk to people around baseball, and, you know, I do it all day long, and I think that you know, talking to them every day, no one really knows what to expect. You know, it's a weird market, especially in the National League. There's so many teams that are kind of hovering in and around contention, in and around 500. And when you're one of those teams, you know, the beauty is kind of in the eye of the beholder. You know, a team can, you know, be a few games over 500 or at 500 and feel like they're about to make a run. Or that same team can be unbelievably frustrated with where they are. And I think that you might see some teams that are close to contention sell because they don't believe in what they're seeing. And you might see that team with the same exact record buy because they feel differently. And so I think that's a difficulty of this market, is just the National League is so jumbled together. I think in the American League, those teams, it's a little bit easier to find who's a clear seller, who's a clear buyer. But I do feel like the kind of morass in the middle of the National League is kind of what confuses everyone and makes everyone kind of unsure what kind of market is going to be next week.
Do you feel like you're getting close to something?
We're working hard on stuff, but to say something is imminent, would not be accurate. But, you know, listen, I say this every year. You know, it takes a deadline to get things done. Occasionally, you can get deals done early. You know, we're really happy to be able to get Martin Maldonado. So that was an early deal. You know, we still look at Craig Kimbrel as almost certainly the biggest deadline deal we're gonna make. It just happened to be a little bit earlier. But yeah, it takes a deadline to get things done. People wait. Some of these teams are waiting to see how they play over the weekend. That's sort of how Razor razor thin it is. So we're not close on anything, but we're certainly on the phones a lot, trying to make things happen.
Man, that's not a great spot to be if you're relying on the outcome of a weekend series to determine whether you're a buyer or a seller.
No, it's not, but certainly, what do we have, 6 days? I think some of the teams have six games, and I think some of the teams are in that mindset where a 5-1 stretch versus 1-5 could kind of swing their chances.
Jed, which holes that you guys currently have on the roster are you optimistic could be filled and improved on internally?
I think it's a couple of things. I think that without sort of specifically naming names, because I think it'd probably be inappropriate, I feel like our depth this year hasn't been what we're used to. I think it's really frustrating for us to sort of have at bats that were that are not only empty, but we're having empty lineup spots at times. We're not having great pinch hitting matchups at times, and I think that's something we have to work to find. And I think some of that stuff could happen internally, but that would mean guys that might be struggling would have to perform a little better. We do have some guys that are really good players that are in slumps. I think that we are going to continue to look to bolster the bullpen. Some of that can come internally. For example, Rowan Wick looked terrific in Iowa, looked great in San Francisco this week. So that's an example of where a guy like that could really come up and help us. But listen, we only have six more days to make external transactions. I mean, the rules have changed. We can't do a lot of things in August. And so we're going to have to do as much as we can and shop as much as we can in those 6 days. And then after that, it's going to all be internal. So I think right now, candidly, we are focused on external solutions, because this is the time to do that.
Are you any update on Ben Zobrist? Are we going to see him again?
We are cautiously optimistic that he will come back. We certainly want him to. I think we've missed his gravitas, and we've missed his at bats, and we've missed his leadership for sure. And we'd love to have him back. And we're kind of cautiously optimistic that he will be back. But I don't really have anything definitive to add. But hopefully, we will know something fairly soon. It's on his timetable, which we respect. But obviously, in order to come back this year, the wheels would have to get in motion prior to that. It's really hard to play in the big leagues. So that, it's not the kind of thing where you can just decide one day to come back and do it the next day. So, the wheels would have to get in motion, but, right now we don't have anything specific to announce.
Yeah, Theo was on the station a week ago, and he basically said, and I respect the private nature of the story, but he said you guys have a deadline, basically, because it's going to take time to ramp up and a minor league assignment and get in shape and all of that, and that he would be in touch with him in about the next week or so. I assume then that means that the deadline is right about now for a decision?
not quite that specific. But, yeah, Theo's right, and that's kind of what I was alluding to as far as you can't snap your finger and come back and play in the big leagues. There's a ramping up process. There's getting at bats in the minor leagues and really preparing. And I think anyone that knows Ben knows, he's probably the best preparer around. And this guy really takes care of his body. He really focuses on, every aspect of baseball and how he needs to get ready to do that. And so I think that, he's going to need time to get back to sort of his standards. And so obviously we're not going to tell you kind of what that deadline is. And there's not a etched in stone, day circled on the calendar, but there is a time frame where we'll have to know so we can get them ready. And, that is kind of approaching.
Jed, I want to talk about how things feel. And from my perspective, the reason I have a lot of faith in your baseball team is your starting rotation. Yet this feels wobbly to me. And it shouldn't, because when your guys are going right, your first five, you're as good as anybody in the National League. Does it feel wobbly to you at this point?
Are you talking about just rotation in particular?
Well, just the feel of your ball club. I mean, for a team that has, endured quite a bit and still managed to keep itself in front of the others in the division, it just doesn't feel as secure as it should.
Well, it shouldn't feel secure. I mean, we're going to be tied for first place after today. And, you know, it shouldn't feel secure. I think we have to really, you know, play incredibly well over the next 2 months, or, you know, a little more than 2 months in order to win this division. So the idea that, you know, it's secure, or the idea that somehow we're going to run away and hide, like, this is not going to happen. I mean, I think this is going to be a dogfight. We got a bunch of games against the Cardinals in particular at the end of September, and those are going to matter. So I think anyone expecting some kind of lack of suspense and end of the year, I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's going to be really difficult. Mm-hmm. But as far as wobbly, I mean, I do think that the one aspect of that has been our rotation, in that, you know, Kyle was injured. He came back right before the break, and I think he's still working his way back to being vintage Kyle Hendricks. And then, you know, Cole Hamels will make a second rehab start this weekend, and then hopefully he'll come back. And, you know, our hope, and, you know, listen, the best laid plans almost never work, but our hope is that we get those five guys back and healthy, and we can get to a place where you sort of turn the rotation over a bunch of times and we get consistent. Because that's the one aspect of our team that hasn't been recently. It's been quite a while since we had all five of those guys in place. You know, Kyle was hurt, and now Cole's hurt. I'd like to think we can get those guys back and pitching, and that'll allow us to play a little bit more consistent baseball.
Jed, it's been since June 30th that Daniel Descalso has started a game. I believe he's only has, by my count, 7 plate appearances in July. What do you see as his role on the team right now?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Daniel has struggled, there's no doubt. I think he's a great teammate, and he's had a great career so far, and started out the year really well. And, you know, through some being a little bit banged up, and probably that led to some bad habits, and he's obviously struggled. But we still believe in him. I think that, guys like him can have bad stretches and then turn it around. And like I said, we know that, you know, he was kind of grinding through some stuff that probably did lead to some bad habits. So, you know, we love having him on the team as far as, you know, being a veteran leader. He knows how to play the game. He talks about the game well. He keeps guys focused. But obviously, I think from an offensive standpoint, his role has been reduced from what we expected, just kind of, you know, just based on how he's hit so far.
And then just a couple more roster things as we're talking to Cubs general manager Jed Hoyer, McNeil and Parkins on the Score. You guys famously kept 3 catchers in 2016, but the circumstances were certainly different. Is that feasible this year?
I think it is. Yeah, I think it is. I mean, I think we like what each guy, you know, brings to the roster. And certainly, you know, Wilson's a 2-time All-Star starter, and kind of I don't really need to talk about his role, but, you know, Maldonado is just an incredible defensive catcher and really thinks the game incredibly well. Is very serious, and I think he adds a level of gravitas to the clubhouse. And I think Vic is a really good offensive player. I think he's, you know, developed really well behind the plate, but he certainly has the ability to be a really good bat off the bench as well as catching. So I think it fits. I think that we have a lot of roster issues to talk through over the next 6 days. So it would be lying to say that, we know exactly where things are going to turn over the 6 days as we kind of look to improve our depth. But I will say, yeah, it certainly is feasible to carry 3 catchers.
And then in terms of, back to the idea of improving things internally, I feel like I've asked Theo or you this every time you're on, because he's so good when he's here, but he's not here. Brandon Morrow, do you expect him to pitch this season?
I hope. And listen, I know hope is not a plan. You know, I think that obviously it's been a frustrating, you know, series of ramp ups and ramp downs. And, you know, I think that we can probably only endure, you know, kind of one more. I mean, we need this, you know, this to work, you know, as he's ramping up. But I mean, it's a great X factor, I guess, is probably the way I'd say it at this point. If we get him back, I think if we get him back and he's good and vintage Brandon Morrow, he could really be a great shot in the arm. But as we approach the deadline, we have to think about it as just that. I mean, it's been since last year at the All-Star break that he pitched in the big leagues. And, you know, it's been a bit of, you know, fits and starts to his rehab. So, you know, he's a great guy. I hope this works. It could help, you know, him. It could help our team immensely. I know he's working hard at it, but I do feel like we have to be realistic about it as we think through our deadline.
Yeah, because it's an interesting thing, and I was talking about this the other day on the show. In terms of swing and miss guys in the pen, if I would have said, you know, what I was expecting for opening day, you know, it would have been Edwards and Strope and Morrow as your three best. And like, to varying degrees and reasons, you can't really count on those guys right now. So it's a very different makeup than I was expecting. How would you characterize the state of the bullpen right now?
Well, first of all, I thought our bullpen was outstanding in San Francisco. I mean, Strope had the one bad inning on Monday, but other than that inning, I mean, on a Tuesday night, the bullpen was outstanding. The bullpen was outstanding yesterday.
Yep.
Because it got taxed. So I do feel like our bullpen actually threw really, really well. In particular, I'd say Kyle Ryan and Rowan Wick really, really stepped up. It probably looks a little bit different than we had expected, but I think that's probably that's just the nature of bullpens. I mean, it's so volatile. And, you know, I think as you think about the trade deadline, you know, last year we traded for Brandon Kinsler and we were excited to bring him in. And he really struggled last year and didn't really provide a lot of value to the team in 2018. And then in 2019, you know, he's been one of our best relievers and really has been a savior for us. And it's just a good lesson that, you know, relievers are volatile. And as you acquire relievers, you know, sometimes you get a guy that performs like Jesse Chavez and he was dominant. And sometimes you get a guy who performs like Brandon Kinsler, but that's not to say that guy is not a really good pitcher. You look at what Kinsler's done this year and you realize that's just the nature of only pitching maybe, you know, 12 to 15 innings over a 2-month span. A lot of things can happen. So our pen looks a little different than we expected, but I still have a lot of confidence in it. And I think Kimbrel helps provide some stability at the end. And, you know, guys like Cishek and Kinsler have really stepped up and been good for us. And we've gotten nice performances, you know, out of guys like, you know, like Wick, like Kyle Ryan. Those guys have really stepped up for us and pitched well.
And then last thing from me, Jed, we've talked about this off the air before, but it's this time of year for us, columnists, radio hosts, it's rumor season, right? It's Twitter refresh season. How, and then you guys will sometimes make a move that no one linked to you before. How would you characterize, for Cubs fans, when they are reading every name that's linked to you, how would you characterize the accuracy or legitimacy of the rumors this time of year in your sport?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'd say two things. Number one, we're the Cubs, and so I think if you're any kind of big market, teams will always use the big market teams to sort of get names out. So we get connected to a lot of names because other teams want to read, you know, want to end up on trade rumors and want to make sure other teams know, you know, this guy might move or these other teams are connected to this player. So I do think big market teams will get linked to an inordinate number of players. So that's number one. And number two is, It's mostly clickbait this time of year. There's some legitimate rumors at times, you know, but I feel like for the most part, when teams really want to make a deal and really want something to come together, they usually don't talk about it. And so for the most part, I think that there's a lot of bad rumors. I think that I try not to follow that stuff that much this time of year because I feel like so much is inaccurate and so much is kind of like the NFL draft where the stuff that's being put out is mostly propaganda. And so I just think that's just, it's worth keeping in mind, like, okay, this team is linking a big market team to this player. Like, what's really behind that link? What are they really trying to accomplish? And, you know, a lot of times it's born of misinformation or trying to get a reaction out of a different team. So I try to ignore it. And I think for the most part, if I was saying to Cubs fans, like, we'll be active, you know, we'll be trying to improve our team, but, you know, believing rumors about what we might give up for a certain player or believing rumors about who we might be interested in, it's almost always inaccurate.
Would you at least do this, Jed? If I can guess the area code of the number that pops up the most on your cell, would you confirm or deny?
Shoot, I mean, I tell you what, I make so many calls this time of year, and listen, I say all that, and I am great friends with a ton of the people that, you know, put all that stuff out. I talk to them all the time and really like them. And, you know, the fact is that, you can only report the information you're given, and it is really hard. It's really hard when you're being sort of you're in the middle of various people's interests. I think it's difficult to report accurately.
All right. Well, you mentioned the NFL draft. You know, I'm going to get this in. If you got the number one pick, who's your pick in fantasy football this year?
God, I haven't looked at it at all, but
it's early.
I'd say probably I had Saquon Barkley on one team last year, and it was pretty unbelievable. So you got to imagine he's going to be used a lot. He's going to be a workhorse, and with Beckham gone, I'm sure he's going to catch a ton of balls. So I'll probably go with that, even though I've spent, as a Cubs fans would hope, I've spent exactly 0 seconds thinking about that.
My guy, we're having you on for football picks again, Jed, this year, just so you know.
I'd love it. That'd be great.
All right, man. We'll talk to you.
All right, guys. Take care.
That's Jed Hoyer with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.